Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here, Getaway Friday, June the 19th, 2026, 13 and a half minutes past the hour. Joined in studio by Matt Morgan, 2 days away from the first day of summer, which will be on Sunday. Last show, I guess, we'll be doing this year in the season of spring. Phone lines are open, and we've had great participation this morning, and we appreciate that. 740-383-9944, talking about the dumpster situation in Marion, and how that's all transpired, and the flock camera situation, which continues to be a talking point here in Marion. Now, as far as the dumpster situation goes, we've been talking about this for 2 hours this morning. What do you think the consensus is from the listening audience?
Well, it would seem that they don't, that it's generally not believed that it was a public thing. So there's that. Yeah, I mean,
but isn't that the whole thing here?
Yeah. I mean,
is that allegedly it was a public thing?
All I'm saying is, if it was a public thing, I think that there probably would have been some kind of, you know, something made, you know, if the thing's really been out for 3 to 3.5 years, I do believe are the numbers he gave, then I figure at some point by then you would have had advertised or something.
And yet, we don't know. And possibly the program will still be available, but the prices are going up. And I don't even know how the city could sustain a program like this. 35,000 people in the city, give or take. I mean, let's say 500 people wanted dumpsters. I don't think the city has that kind of mechanism.
No, probably not.
So, I don't know how you could do it. Again, going back to the beginning of the program, and can a department head just implement a program like that without anybody in the administration or anybody on city council knowing? If that's doable, that's a problem.
I wouldn't think so.
Well, allegedly it can happen.
Well, the mayor wasn't there. Maybe the mayor knew.
Well, we'll find out on Monday, I guess. Those are the questions I would like to hear. Did anybody on city council know about this, and did the mayor know about it?
You know, I think it would almost look better on them to say they did know about it, and that I think they should have to, they should try to defend it somehow. I mean, like, if they knew about it, and if they didn't know about it, then I guess they didn't know about it. But I think if you didn't know about it, it just makes you look kind of dumb. I mean, I don't know.
Well, if you didn't know about, they've already said they didn't know about it, so it's kind of hard for them to go back now and say they didn't know about it.
That's why I said should have.
Yeah, but putting the time constraints on it, I don't know what that was supposed to do. If you didn't really know when it did start. I don't get that. But that's not my ball. And the flock cameras, apparently going to be around for at least another year now. But we're not sure where the remaining $2,000 will come from in that whole rundown. Go ahead, caller.
You know, a kind of a good rule of thumb in life is that, you know, if it looks and smells like bullshit, it's probably bullshit. You know, we're in a time right now where politicians, our president has for the past 10 years brainwashed many people into not believing what their eyes, what their ears tell them. You know, those are God-given senses, and they are God-given with discernment. You know, trust your eyes and ears, and as I said, if it looks and smells like bullshit, there's likely it's bullshit. You know, and if it's about the other side of the party, you know, most politicians will say that, but not here, I guess.
Well, that's
I'd like to see if that dumpster's still at that house.
Well, that's a very good question. Well, hopefully we'll find out the answers to some of this on Monday.
Hopefully.
Thank you. Bye-bye. You know, I feel the same way about if it smells like BS, it probably is BS. I feel the same way about gravy.
All right.
And it does smell like that. It certainly does.
I'm telling you, gravy's good stuff.
It's called SOS.
No.
Yes, it is. That's one of the nicknames for it. And boy, did they get that nickname right. 740-383-9944.
I've never heard Gravy be referred to as SOS.
Oh, yes. That's a common nickname for it.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Well, I do. The audience knew what I was talking about without saying it.
Can't be that common.
Oh, it's very common.
Oh, no.
Yeah. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944 if you've got anything to say. So here we are, the flock cameras.
What about them?
Well, they're kind of going to stay around for another year, at least.
Well, somebody's going to have to cough up $2,000.
Yeah, but I still don't understand. Well, if I was the police department, I would bring results Monday. Things that were good that were done by these flock cameras. That would be the good PR thing to do.
I guess, yeah.
Now, if they do that, good. If they don't do that, they could be in a world of hurt again. There's just a terrible PR problem with the local politicians. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know. Do they talk to each other? Do they have meetings before they go to these meetings and get their story straight before they go down there?
It wouldn't really seem like it. I mean, I don't. They don't have a lot of answers when you ask. I mean, they try, I guess. But you know.
Do you think they try?
They respond at the very least.
I don't know.
Like, you know, I think that, you know, come Monday, I think, you know, Mr. Cowell should have some kind of reports, you know.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, I was just thinking, does Upper Sandusky, that city, have the problems we have? Does Mansfield have the problems we have? Does Miss Cyrus have the problems we have?
Not that I'm aware of. I don't think any of the cities are particularly in great financial shape, and they have little hiccups here and there, but we've continuously had them now for at least 2.5 years.
Well, because I was just thinking about laying here, you know, analyzing this, and I thought, well, good, because even Marysville's got their problems, too, because they got too many people and too much money. But anyways, I was thinking, well, other towns that's our size, do they have the same kind of scuttlebutt that we do?
Well, and I know people get tired of me saying this, but I was around for the Jack Kellogg administration, media-wise.
Right.
I was around for the Schertzer administration, media-wise. And they just did a better job of handling the media and getting their story straight before they came out and said something. And I can only say that, you know, Jack Kellogg, maybe he's on my mind because he turned 90 years old last Sunday, and he was here at the studio. And Jack Kellogg is the mayor that implemented going on the radio once a month and talking to the media about whatever was going on. Now, Mayor Schertzer continued that. And we know where that's went since.
Collins said he was going to.
Said he was going to, but never did. Now, the point of that is, when I asked Jack Kellogg at 90 years old at this birthday, or this anniversary gathering last week, 3 days before his 90th birthday, Mayor Kellogg, you know, nobody likes to talk to the media. Well, you know, I know there were times you didn't want to talk to me about what was going on. Why did you do it? And Mayor Jack Kellogg, like he always was, short and sweet. Because it was my job.
Well, and like I say, if somebody asks you a question and you're the mayor and you don't understand, then you say, I really don't know. Let me check into that, whatever. Because I'm sure, but I've never heard, at 83 years old, I've never heard of national politics like it is. Is it just the time because everybody's so damn smart because they got their cell phones?
Well, Matt asked me a question the other night during the taping, but it was like I think we were done that night. And he said, why are politics from the top down?
The question was phrased backwards, but yeah.
Yeah.
How do you make politics bottom up again?
Bottom up again, where you used to be able to elect local Democrats and Republicans, and it didn't matter how you were voting for president. And I said, the reason that doesn't happen anymore is because there are no local politicians who are charismatic enough or popular enough to to overshadow the national candidate. You know, again, another friend of mine, Mary Ellen Withrow, a longtime person on the radio. You know, Mary Ellen got elected first-time state treasurer in 1982. She was reelected in 86 and reelected in 90. If you look at that, the president of the United States for the entire time that this Democrat was elected treasurer of the state of Ohio by large margins was Ronald Reagan, a Republican. Now, that won't happen anymore because there are not popular, charismatic politicians on the local and state level. And the problem is that they do stuff like this, like you've seen with this dumpster thing, as minor as it may seem, and the bus situation and all that nonsense. This stuff happens and people say, well, geez, what are you doing? And so they have to vote for the president, and then they just follow the R or the D down the ticket.
Well, but I mean, I still have my standards. I get a bill in the mail, I write a check for it, and I send it back. I put my trash out like I was supposed to put my trash out. I don't try to pull any tricks, you know, and, well, I'll try to get by with this, even if it's not right. But I says, I mean, you look, and it goes... But I was just thinking about that, about other towns around here. Do they all have the same kind of crap that we do? I mean, does Bell Fountain have problems like we do? Does Mansfield? You know, I just don't understand.
They all run into their issues, but one of the problems, and again, the city will not like me saying this, and by the way, our county, we know, is in a financial crisis as well, but the reason it's not as bad and it's not as visible as the city is because the county does handle it a little better with the media and the press and the way they do things. One thing that has happened in the city, and I, you know, we do not have a two-party system in the city anymore. Everybody's a Republican except one city council member. And that's not good government. And I don't think you would find that in these other cities that you're mentioning. And I think that's a problem. And I also think that they have their problems. There's no doubt about it. They come up against things. But they don't come out. We have a bad presentation right now. This dumpster thing. If this dumpster thing was, we didn't know anything about it, we don't know when it started, but you can bet we're going to fix it now that we know about it, we wouldn't be talking about it like this. But we don't handle it like that.
But there was human beings that made this happen. Now, why is it that those human beings didn't say, you know, this really isn't right, instead of, oh, I think we can get by with it? I just don't understand. Right's right, wrong's wrong. You know, and I see the same thing on national and everything else. It's just sad. And I don't, for God's sakes, know how they're ever going to turn it around.
Well, you're going to have to get somebody who is willing to take the heat and willing to tell the truth and not, because some, you know, a lot of times you don't know if a politician's telling you the truth, but some things are so blatant, it's very easy to tell that they're lying to you. And that's essentially what we're talking about this morning. We're not talking about this dumpster. It was $50. People probably didn't know about it, but when they said, oh, it's always been open to the public, we just didn't tell anybody. Now, how stupid does that sound coming out of somebody's mouth?
Right. So, I just don't understand. If you guys don't quit talking about all this crap, I'm just going to have to turn it off.
Oh, well, what do you want us to talk about? We'll talk about anything to keep you tuned in.
You guys get me so confused tonight. Well, why in the hell would you even think that? But I got to thinking, well, does Upper Sandusky have these kind of problems? And other cities, Bell Fountain, you know, Upper Sandusky. Or is it just us because we're wallowing in whatever we're wallowing in?
Well, you know, elections are next year. The mayor's on the ballot. All the city council's on the ballot. A lot of people up for re-election next year.
That's right, Scott. But if you were live in a city, would you really want to run?
You know, I'm interested to find out. I will be interested to know next year if anybody will. I don't know.
Yeah, well, like I say, it's just, I was just shocked, and then I, well, like I said, I hadn't listened to it for 10 days. Why, you guys have just made an awful mess of things since I've been gone.
I think we're probably cursed every day by people downtown. If they weren't there, nobody'd know anything.
Well, and it starts right out with the bus stuff, and then it starts out with all of that way back in the very beginning, and we just got by with it because we didn't have a Ralph Comston on there, or what was it, that Mike Thomas on there, or even Josh Daniels, the question stuff.
That's, and you're three people you just mentioned, long-term councilmen who asked questions, who wanted debate, who made sense when they were talking. And I don't know what has happened. It's a different era, I'll say that.
I think that's it. I think it's just a different thing. And everybody has their cell phone, so everybody knows everything, even if they really don't interpret it to be correct.
That's true. I wouldn't disagree with that at all.
Hey, Scott, let's keep on keeping on.
Stay tuned. Bye-bye. All right, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. I agree with what the lady said wholeheartedly there, because it is a different breed of councilman. You had Ralph Comston, who was in the first ward for 20 years. You had Mike Thomas, who was on council for, I think, 20-plus years. You had Josh Daniels, who had been a county commissioner, who was a city councilman.
Didn't Jack Kellogg say he was a councilman for 14?
A long time, yeah. 70s, 80s. He didn't come to the mayoralship till the 90s. And I think that's part of the problem, is Collins has no training in city government. None. Zero. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, we're all human beings, and any time you got several human beings involved, you're going to have these kind of problems. Very seldom do you get a president or anybody that is going to do the right thing for the group or organization they're working for. People want to do the right thing for them. And like I told you before, any program that they have out there, if you want to say do away with a program because of fraud, I don't care what program you put out there, there's going to be fraud in it. No matter if you put a program out there that's going to do wonders for people, or whether you put a program out there that's going to not help anybody, you know, there's always fraud. We're human beings.
Yes, but I do think that some people are more willing to acknowledge it in others. Do all politicians cut
corners? Oh, yes. You know, some people, that's why it's hard to find somebody that's going to do it. But they'll do it so far, but sometimes, you know, when their ass is in the sling, it'll go away.
Well, I don't know if this is going away. I guess we'll find out Monday night.
We'll see.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We're always interested to hear the answer. But don't you think a lot of this two-and-a-half-year mess that the city has been in deals with no experience?
Well, I think experience is always good. It doesn't help that, yeah, I mean, the administration, well, I guess not the entire administration, but, you know, Bill Collins had no political experience. I mean, most of the city council had no political experience. I mean, so it was just not a great time.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott. You know, as you were saying just a minute ago that, you know, national politics drives locals, it seems like, today. And I think a lot of these administrations all across the country rode the wave in with Trump, and as I keep saying, there's the winds of politics is changing, and hopefully there's going to be a wave, and there is already starting, of, you know, new people, independents, Democrats, good Republicans coming through to take office, and I think that's what's driving this four-year term debate that city council is having. I think they're really concerned that, you know, at the end of their terms, they're going to get voted out lump sum.
Well,
many of them probably should be, but I don't think at all.
Well,
I think, you know, you have Aaron Rollins and Thad, and Ralph Smith is he's in the middle with, I'm in the middle with him.
Well, they could be setting themselves up for a big problem, though, because that's going to be on the ballot this fall, and should that pass to give city council four-year terms, the next election, where they're all going to be up for four-year terms, well, half of them will be up for four-year terms, is going to be the following year. And if the tides have changed, well, they could put the opposite party in for 4 years.
Yeah, that's a true statement right there.
So,
you know, that's something you always have to do and has always been. That's kind of the debate over the years of whether we should keep the filibuster or get rid of the filibuster because, you know, they can see the good of getting whoever's in power. You know, they can see the good of how it would benefit them of getting rid of it, but then, you know, at some point you're going to lose. At some point the other party is going to come in and they're going to have the same tools. And that's what a lot of the Republicans are saying and nationally and are worried about, obviously, is that if and when the Democrats take over, that there's going to be a lot of investigations, there's going to be a lot of indictments, there's going to be a lot of that going on. So, again, you have a president who protects pedophiles after he ran on opening these files, and then in the gist of that, we had a wave of other new politicians ride that wave into office. And if you look across the country, you know, just do searches, you have mayors and sheriffs and police chiefs and this and that left and right that are getting caught in mass corruption. There was a sheriff over in Indiana or Illinois, I don't remember which it was, you know, was a star of 60 Days In. That man's doing many 20 years, 30 years, whatever. Stole millions of dollars, and he's just one of many, and it's on there daily.
It's true. It's true. You know, it's when you blow up the system, it's going to come back to bite you in the end.
Yeah, and again, it goes back to what you were discussing yesterday, whatever. You know, we got to stop doing these knee-jerk reactions. You know, I want people, kind of what got me tuned in with Ralph Smith is I believe, in the beginning, I think he was just a party hack. And I hate to say it that way, but I think he was just a party hack and was voting party line. He at some point, and I don't know what it was, maybe he's, you know, I think he's a very smart man. I think at some point he sees the writing on the wall, and he at some point said, you know what, I need to start participating and listening and engaging with the constituents. So I've seen a change in him. I'd like to look just out for clarity about Mr. Josh Daniels. You know, over the weeks, months, whatever, he and I have had some issues, but I've always thought Josh Daniels was an extremely smart man. I followed him when he was in politics. He definitely was a fighter. He was another Jason Schauber or Ayers Ratliff or whatever. But I don't agree with his stance when he in helping get rid of the building code, the residential building code in Marion, Ohio. And part of that is because I accept he's a very smart man, and I would just love to hear him. Just put it out there. Let's put some bullet points out there, Josh, because you got me blocked. But put some bullet points out there. How exactly getting rid of the residential building code helped the people of Marion, Ohio, and the beauty and the vitality of this city? I would just be interested in saying that. So just because I come out against somebody on one aspect doesn't mean that, you know, I think all bad of somebody. I can dislike somebody and think that, you know what, they could still have the tools and the skills to be a good politician. You know, as long as they don't cross moral lines that I put in my life, then I'm okay. You know, it doesn't have anything to do with liking somebody. As a person, I don't think much of Josh Daniels. But as a politician, I think he did some good things. I think he did one real disservice to the citizens of Marion, though.
Well, it's understandable. Thank you.
All right, bud.
All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944, and that's what we're here to do, listen to the public. 740-383-9944. All right, so all that, Matt, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I think having city council people that ask questions is obviously always good. I mean, you know, I think that the more questions you ask, I think the more informed you are generally. I mean, you know, so that's always a positive.
The more you need to know. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I've had a couple of dealings with Ralph Smith about things here in the neighborhood, and he's always been very helpful, returning calls like he should. I gotta commend him.
Well, there you go. A commendation for Ralph Smith.
Yep.
Thank you. Well, there you go. There's a pat on the back for Rob Smith, 3rd Ward City Councilman. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You want to praise anybody?
I don't have any elected officials in the city. And I haven't contacted
any of them. Well, no, but you've seen them. You've seen them. You can praise them if you like.
I mean, I don't know. Not really. I mean, I think... No, I mean, I think Aaron's pretty good, I guess, yeah.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out, because I think as time goes along, this is going to be an ongoing conversation, and I'm not sure exactly where it's going to end, but people have got to get better at getting their story straight before they go out in front of people.
I don't think you should be coaching people on how to lie.
Well, I think getting your story straight is telling the truth.
Well, telling the truth is telling the truth. Getting your story straight is like something you do if you're telling a lie with a bunch of people. You all got to get together and get your story straight.
Well, I don't know that that's true. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Matt, you can praise me if you want.
Oh, yeah, I mean...
I call in on your show.
Yes, he does. Lee does call in on my show.
No, wait, now, do you think getting your story straight means lying?
No.
Neither do I. I don't know where Matt's on a different planet.
I don't know.
He wants to give Iran all this money. He thinks getting your story straight means lying.
I tell the truth because I do not want to have to keep track of lies. I tell the truth more about myself than what I should. I've talked to different people on things I've done in the past that's wrong, and my punishment is to tell you about it and suffer the guilt. No, I don't lie. And that's we need more people with integrity.
There you go. Thank you.
Yep.
All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Listen, if you are dealing with the public, and you are dealing with everybody who's got a social media page, and you're dealing with the media, you better have a straight story when you come out.
Or you can just tell the truth.
Well, if you don't know the truth, your story should be, I don't know.
Then why are you even given a story?
Because sometimes that is the story.
If somebody asks you for your input, I guess, and you don't know, then just say, I don't know.
I didn't say go out there and lie. I said get your story straight.
Look, I don't know. I just, get your story straight sounds like a lie thing to me.
Well,
liars have to get their story straight.
Oh, you are wrong.
People who tell the truth, you don't really got anything to get straight.
No, because very few people's version of the truth is going to be exactly the same. Because people get information from different places. You know, if I went down and I asked this person, well, what happened here? And they tell me that's what happened. And this person goes and says, well, what happened here? And they say, well, this is what happened. Well, both of those things are the truth, but the stories might not match up. You need to get together in a room and go, well, what did they tell you? Well, what did they tell you? Okay, well, this is probably the best version that we can come up with at this point of what actually happened.
Yeah,
and sometimes you don't always know the truth.
As far as the whole dumpster thing goes, I mean, like, there should definitely be a paper trail of some kind. And if there's not a paper trail, then I would like to know as to why that's not a thing. And there is no story
right,
to
but
get
that's,
straight there.
Well,
it's
that's
just
well, yeah,
why
there is a story
a
to get
trail.
Straight because you need to go figure out is there one.
You have to,
and that's your story.
You have to,
is there or isn't there?
You have to find out the information. I don't know that you're getting your story straight.
Well, that is a story. Go ahead, caller.
Scott, I just had another thought.
Go ahead.
You think about how school is, now I'm talking from preschool on, what goes on now that would have never gone on 20 years ago, because parents are standing, well, they think they're standing up for their kids. But in kindergarten, we're raising councilmen.
Yeah, it starts young. It starts young. There is a different personality now that arises where people feel that they're playing big time politics on the local level, and they've got to get reelected. You know, I couldn't imagine. Now listen, somebody can go back and correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't ever remember a mayor saying, I know this is going to hurt me politically, but here's the story. Now, that's very true, and good for him for telling the truth, but I don't know that mayors, they might have thought about it, but I don't know that they would say that. You know, is that what they're thinking about, the political ramifications of what they're doing?
Well, Scott, you've been a teacher. Now, from the first year you taught till now, how has discipline taken place in school? Do we ever say, you don't do it because it's just not right? I mean, nobody's teaching kids, and then the parents come in, and maybe they've done their job before the kid went to school. Of course, we put them in school at 3 years old, you know. But I was thinking, you know something? What's going on in school is our future council people.
You know something different, though, and I'll tell you this. It's not so, from my observation of the years in the classroom, it's really not so much that the kids have changed. Kids have always wanted to get away with stuff, and kids have always wanted to cause mischief, and kids always want to, you know, lie about where their homework is or why their project wasn't done or whatever it is. That's really not all that new. What is new is how the parents treat the situation.
Well, how many teachers, good teachers, you said, if they would lock the parents out of the building, I would stay and keep teaching?
Probably a lot of them, because there was a period of time where the standard was that, you know, people used to say this. They would say, well, if the teacher reported the kid for doing something wrong, the parent was going to discipline the child, and now the parent yells at the teacher. Now, there is some of that, and that was the case for a long time, but what happens now is, it's more along the line, I'm not sure that they disbelieve the teacher. I don't see many arguments with teachers and parents. What the parents do now, though, is they're very protective of their students, kids, even in high school. I mean, the kids don't usually cause the kerfluffle. It's the parents causing the kerfluffle on behalf of the kids. You know,
I had a nephew that taught at Cincinnati, and he must have been a very, very good teacher because he was Teacher of the Year in Cincinnati. He'd always taught middle school. I don't know what he taught, if it's history, whatever. But anyways, he dropped back down to the fourth grade because he says, I can't stand the parents.
Yeah, well, it's not so much that they get in your face anymore. They've kind of gotten back from that. This generation isn't really doing that. More of what they're doing is they cause. Have you noticed these parents getting in fist fights at baseball games?
Right.
Right. They.
That's the reason, Scott, they can't get any coaches, because and they're strictly volunteers. They go, and they want to have a fun game, teach kids a little bit of whatever. And the parents is up in the audience, the women in halter tops and short shorts and their moms. And that's the reason they can't get any coaches. That's the reason they can't get any umpires anymore. Because the ones that's been umpires for years says, I ain't putting up with that crap anymore.
Well, and I'll tell you something that I think has happened, and people might think this is funny in a way, but one thing I've noticed, because I think about my parents, and then I think about my parents' parents, and I think about parents that I've seen over the last 20 years in the school district, and what is interesting to me is that my mother and father looked like a mother and a father, and their right. mother and father looked like a mother and a father. Now,
a teacher looked like a teacher.
And a teacher looked like a teacher. Now, what happens is, parents are so, they love it. You know what parents love now? I thought, the person thought that I was my kid's sister. You know, is that really something you want you want to look 20 years younger? And they have this youth obsession, so they go to these games, and they want to look so-so, and they want to be treated so-so. So if anybody attacks their kid, they'll tell you, I'll throw down for my kid. My parents would have never said anything like that on their best day. They on their worst day, I should say. They would have never said, I'm going to throw down for my kid. And I'll tell you what, they also would have never used profane language in public like that.
Oh, no. Well, it's like my brother used to say, all the bus driver had to do was look in the rearview mirror and you'd done something you shouldn't have. All you knew in contact with him and you didn't do it anymore.
Yeah.
They didn't have to get them off the bus and run them into the transportation person. They dealt with it right there. And, you know, there's a little fine line between fear and respect.
But you know what? People love to drink with their kids now. People love to do bad stuff with their kids now. There's not even a worry. There's not even a line. That's something you want to do now.
Well, and if a kid, you know, gets up and cusses the teacher and then the parents come in, well, the teacher's wrong. You drove him to it. But we start him to school 3 years old, and no one's been home making a home. That's another thing. Nobody is making home. Everybody's making money.
Well, and I'm not sure that parents are parents. I don't think parents have the
it's the times.
Yeah, well, they don't have the gravitas anymore to pull off to, you know, don't talk to me like that, or that really isn't a thing anymore.
Well, they either are going to beat the tar out of them, or they're not doing anything.
But I'll also tell you something about parents that I find funny now. You can have grown adult kids well over the age of 21, and they're still trying to inflict curfews on them, like they're 16. And I'm thinking, what in the world is
well,
going...
Well, these parents that has the phone, and they can track every time, every move the kid makes.
Why? I mean, you gotta kick the bird out of the nest eventually.
Well, I look, but I just don't. But like I was saying to start at the beginning, times now are raising council people.
There you go. I wouldn't disagree. Thank you.
Oh well. Hey, let's keep on, Scott.
Yep. Stay with us. We still got two more to go.
Bye-bye.
Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. I agree with all that. I think there is a parent now that almost enjoys their kid. Let's go get tattoos together. Let's go drink together. You cannot have that relationship with your child because there's no longer a parent. There's no longer a dynamic where you can have any type of authority once you do that.
I mean, I don't know. I don't have kids.
It's just not a good situation. And I don't know why people do that. And then on the other hand, like I said, you've got adult kids and parents are still slapping curfews on them. You know, what is that? I mean, when you're in a... Would the parent like to have a curfew slapped on them? At 50 years old, I'd probably not.
She did mention trackers. My mom did used to have had me, my brother, and my sister download. I don't remember the name. Some app that was like a built-in tracker. I just did it when she told me to, and then I don't think she ever used it. If she used it, she certainly didn't. I don't know. I deleted it, so no longer existed. And then, like, months later, she asked me to re-download it. I was like, no. No.
I don't know. I don't think you should be cracking your kids after the age of 21, but...
I was definitely still in high school.
Well, high school, I don't know. You might have a right to do it in high school. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, as far as that curfew situation, if you're living in your parents' home, you live by their rules. And if you don't like it, you grow up and get out on your own.
I did. I graduated high school and dipped out of there.
Yeah.
But now, wait a second. Now, are you telling me that if another adult moved into, was staying with you, let's say your brother was staying with you, you gonna put a curfew on the brother?
Yes, I would.
Well, I see. I think that's nuts.
I don't care who you are. You're coming living in my house. You ain't coming home drunk and doing your crap.
Well, nobody said anything about coming home drunk.
Well, when you come home at 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, a lot of times you've been drinking. Or you come home and you wake people up.
But that's an inference. I don't think that's the truth.
I come
if
home.
If you don't like my rules, you go grow up. Get a job and
but now wait a
get
second.
Out on your own.
Now wait a second. What if that person worked a second shift job where they didn't get off till midnight? Would that be okay then?
What, to make them come home by 3 o'clock?
No. They got to be home by 9 o'clock, so they can't work till midnight. I guess can't get a second shift job.
Well, you're going to the extremes there.
Exactly. That's what I see.
If anybody's rules bother you, you get your own place.
Well, unfortunately, there are situations where you can't.
That makes your child grow up. If your child comes home because all he wants to do is his drugs.
No, nobody's saying that.
That's what happens, Scott.
No, but that's not what always happens. What I'm saying to you, what is the difference between somebody coming home at midnight from being out with their friends or somebody coming home at midnight from being at work? What's the difference?
Nothing.
That's my point. So what's the point?
If they're working, you can't make them. But the idea of coming home by midnight or 11 or whatever is, especially if you have...
You can come home drunk at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, as far as I know.
Them up.
Listen, as far as I know, you can come home drunk at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So what makes the difference?
I go home like 2 or 3 in the morning sometimes.
They don't come home drunk. If they are drunk, they just go somewhere else.
Right, but my point is. It's not really.
If you don't like the rules, you go get your own place.
Right, but
make all the rules you want.
But that's a control issue.
No, that's not a control
issue. That is a control issue because you would not.
Living in my place, eating my food, being warmed by my heat. Go get your own place.
Listen, if you are, there is a
difference. I don't want to argue with you about it. That's my opinion.
Good going. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right. Phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. What do you think, Matt?
No, I don't agree with that. I mean, now I did graduate, and then, like I said, I moved out. So, I haven't lived with my parents for a while. But, like, even when I lived with my parents, like, I used to go and, like, hang out at my friend's house. And, like, my mom was pretty... So, like, so long as I went to school in the morning, she, didn't really care. I'd be out till, like, 2 or 3, and I'd go home, and then I'd wake up at, like, 7:30 to go to school.
Go ahead, caller.
I agree 100% with your last caller.
Really?
You know, your home is your castle. So why is it wrong... that if you're going to help somebody or you're going to take somebody in the house, that here's the rules, and you hear them up front, you know what they are, you agree to them, so they don't become stupid or dumb or whatever a day later or a week later when, well, I'm a grown man and I should be able to this. Well, go get your own place.
Because here's why I disagree with
you. And it is, well, stop, wait a minute, I don't mean to interrupt you, but it is a control issue.
Oh,
I control my house.
Right.
And if you want to control your house, get your own damn house. And that's what this is we coddle our kids too damn much. We're a coddling nation. Years ago, I can remember when my kids were little, they started the crap with giving everybody trophies. And it's bullshit.
Right. But what I think, I think exactly the opposite. I agree... coddling is not good, and I don't think everybody should be given a trophy. As a matter of fact, I was at an event where everybody got a trophy recently, and I criticized it. But when you say that giving somebody a curfew is coddling them, I think giving an adult a curfew is coddling them. That's treating them like a child.
I'm not giving them a curfew is coddling them. Giving them a curfew is giving them a rule in my house, a condition of walking through my door other than a visitation.
If you want to come live in my house, these are the rules. Society has rules. And if you can't obey the rules, then you go to jail for breaking the rules. And again, there's the problem. So on that level, it does become a coddling situation.
Right, and we're coddling adults, and that is not good, and that's how you get these representations that you get. There's a difference between a 16-year-old and a 30-year-old.
Talking about a 16. How many 16-year-olds are coming to live with you other than they... I thought we were talking about adults from the very beginning.
I am, but that's my point.
Saying about them coming home drunk. Right. I've had this issue with my own kids. And I've literally been through this where we've sat down and said, here's the rules. You've known me most of your lives. You know how I am. You know what my expectations are. And they'll say, oh, yeah, Dad, yeah, we'll do it. And then literally the next night we have an issue.
But that's a different...
At the time, I had people living there, and they had to get up and go to school, and I had animals. And, if you came home... I don't feel I owe you an explanation why, but I gave one. If you come home after a certain time, we're all in bed, and the dogs are going to bark, and it's going to wake the whole house up. And if that happens every now and then, no big deal.
Okay, but let me ask you this. If you live in my house, and you're an adult, and you're 30 years old, can I tell you when to eat?
You can tell me when to eat in that kitchen. You can't.
No, you have to be home by dinner at 5 o'clock every night, and you better be here, and you better eat.
If you want to eat here, Phil, here's when I serve dinner. Otherwise, you can come home, and, you're welcome to get in and make you a sandwich or whatever the hell you want. But if you're expecting a meal to be made or whatever, that's not going to happen.
But,
that's different than you would do with a kid.
Here's how it is. It's not I was raised by a mom, a single mom, who, I said, but Mom, I want this. And my mom's response was, wanting and getting are two different things, mister, and that's how life's going to treat you.
Right, but would your mom have done that with you at 30 years old?
What?
Giving you that ultimatum?
If I stayed at my house, at my mom's house for 2 weeks, I paid rent. I had to do work around there every day. I had rules. I couldn't smoke in the house, couldn't do this, that, and the other. So, yes.
But that's okay, because those are adult rules. I'm saying imposing child rules on adults. That's the problem.
Rules? Being in a curfew?
I don't want
you coming into the house after a certain time, because as I said to you, we have dogs, we have this and that and the other, and when you come in and got the dogs all barking, it would wake the whole house and it disrupted everything.
How's that
a child's
What if
rule?
You work third shift and you've got to be in by 10 a.m. because I got to go to sleep at noon?
Okay, and I'll work with you on that. I'm not an all-or-nothing person. I'll work with you on that. But you ain't going to come home and flop your ass down in the middle of my living room and crank up the TV and all that shit. You are there to... have a place to stay, and because here's my thing. I remember back when my wife and I were still together, and we're all sitting around. I was real big on sitting at dinner, and the kids were all sitting there, and somehow we got on the subject of, when they turned 18 and what we were going to get them for their birthday. And, I said, you get suitcases. And my ex-wife said, oh, those are my babies. Oh, they'll always be welcome in my house and blah, blah, blah. Okay, we divorced sometime later. And then after that, my kids have come to me multiple times and, needed a place to stay at. I'm the guy that let them move in.
Well, unfortunately,
my ex-wife has never let them move in.
But I've hit I've hit the curfew for this hour, so I've got to stop. But we'll come back next hour because the parents are calling and they're saying, I got to go to break. We'll be back after this. Stay tuned.
Mean? Most people are too afraid to be rotten mean because we want people's approval so badly.